second message on the Believer's Quiet Time is the topic Tools of the Trade. And it's taken from Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. We read verse 8 and 9 together. This book of the law shall not depart from thy heart, my mouth, but meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. These are the words that were given by the Lord to Joshua when they were encamped at the brink of entering the promised land. The enemy camp, Jericho, was just ahead of them. And there is a whole new endeavor ahead. It was the will of God that Israel would become a nation and they would possess the land. And so the Lord brought them to possess the land. And this was the words that were given to help them to prosper in the land that God would give to them. And the emphasis was upon the word of God. And we want to think about it here in the next slide. Three thoughts for our meditation. Is to not neglect to read it. Neglect not to read it. He is to meditate upon it all the time that he may receive wisdom. That's the reason why we are giving this book for meditation. In the new year, to take time to study, to take time to read, to take time to prosper, to take time to allow God to prosper your life. And he is to fully carry out the wisdom that he learned and experience God's guidance and blessing. A literal translation of the verse will show the emphasis given in bold. You shall not, the not is emphasized here, remove this book of instruction from your mouth. It means that you are to read it. You are to read it. But you shall meditate upon it day and night. Meditate. And that you may observe to do. According to all being written in it, for then you shall prosper in your way. And so you shall have success. And you'll be surprised. You ask, is it so simple? Just read it. Is it so simple? Just read it. This is the first step. You would have to open it up. And you would have to read it to yourself. Whether you read it aloud, whether you read it in your mind, you read it in your heart, the Lord says, read it. Read it. You have the King James Bible. And we should recommend you. And we ask
that you take time to read.
For the prosperity of your soul, you are to meditate upon it all the time, that you may receive wisdom. You are to meditate upon it all the time, that you may receive wisdom. All the time. Why is it so important? Because if you take a wrong step, you haven't thought twice before you walk. You haven't thought three times before you walk. You went your own way. You will suffer. All scripture is given is by inspiration of God. It's God breathed. These are not our own words. These are breathed out by God for the strengthening of our soul. And it is profitable. That means it is beneficial. It is useful. It is profitable for doctrine. It teaches you the principles of life. Shows you the big picture. Tells you the details. The principles on which you are to build your life. For reproof, it shows you where you have gone wrong. For correction, the Bible also shows us where we have gone wrong, how we can make right. For correction, He will show you the way back to Him. For instruction in righteousness, after you have corrected yourself, then what? What is the right way to do? That the man of God may be perfect. The word there means complete. The word there means to be spiritually mature. Truly or thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That you may receive reward. And the Lord will come again. Your life will be profitable. And the Lord wants you to know that in order to have a rich devotional life, you know, we have to start opening up our Bibles. Start taking time to read it. Start taking time to meditate upon it. Was reading the book, The Christian's Daily Walk. Henry Scudder. And he spoke and took time to go through. When I was preparing this, you know, it came to me and went to search for it, found it. Very good book. In meditating aright, the man of God exercises two kinds of acts, two actions. You say, how to meditate upon God's word? What do? An act directed upon the things meditated. Have your heart, your mind must be there. What is God saying here? Why like that? Why is this happening to the character in the Bible? What is God doing? and the other reflexive upon himself, the person meditating. And so it's very personal. We all must do it ourselves. The first is an act of the contemplating part of understanding, and the second, the act of conscience. The end of the first is to enlighten the mind with knowledge, to know. And then the second, to fill the heart with goodness. You need to fill your heart with heavenly wisdom, with goodness. Very important. And we need to have that focus. Focus upon the meditation, study of God's word. Serious. Discipline. The first serves in terms of moral actions to find out the rule whereby you may know more clearly what is truth, what is falsehood. When we study the book of Proverbs, you'll be able to find same thoughts, contrasting thoughts put together by the Hebrew writer. Know what God wants us to do, what is the way of wisdom. And it's delicate. Whom you should obey. What is good, what is bad. What manner of person you should be. And what you should do and like. And the second serves to direct you how to make a right and profitable application to yourself and to your actions of the rule. So you know what God says. I think the children is completed, so someone bring them in to join us. Next. The first serves, back again, sorry. The second serves to direct how to make a right and profitable application to yourself and to your actions of the rule. Now, so this is our daily devotion. This is how God speaks to us. And it's mysterious. Why do you say it's mysterious? Because the Holy Spirit knows what we need. Our Lord Jesus knows what we need. He prays for us at the right hand of the Father. And he helps us, show us the way. And as you go into that process, the Lord is going to lead you. And you never make mistakes. And you need to be in tune with the sound of the voice of God. So first, an examination. Whether you and your actions be according to the rule or whether you come short and are swerved from it, giving judgment of you according as it finds you. Right? You are able to judge yourself. And that's important. And the second is a persuasive and commanding act, charging the soul in every faculty, understanding, will, affections, yes, the whole of man to reform and conform themselves to the rule, that is, to the will of God. If you find yourself not to think and act according to it, which is done by confessing the fault to God with remorse, praying for forgiveness, returning to God by faith and repentance, and reforming the heart and life through new obedience, this must be the resolution of the soul. And this, and all this, a man must charge himself peremptorily. peremptorily, commanding himself with sincere desire and fixed endeavor to conform to it. We realize we don't know, and we have to learn. And who do you learn from? We learn from godly men in the past who have walked with God and experienced God in their lives, and they have recorded their encounters with God. Rules for meditation. God's holy nature, attributes, word, works. Also, what is duty? What is sin? What should we do, be and do? What you are, what you have done? What are the miseries of the wicked? What are the happiness and privileges of the righteous? Are fit subjects of meditation. That which must settle your judgment and be the rule to direct you. What to hold for true and good must be the canon of God's word, rightly understood, as Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And a caution in seeking to know the secret and mysteries of God and godliness, we must not pry into them further than God had revealed. And we have in the last century what we call the charismatic phenomenon, whereby the human experience is elevated above the word of God, above the will of God. And that's detrimental. It must always be subservient to the will of God. The word of God, the Holy Spirit, will work in tandem with the word of God to instruct us. And so we must be cautioned. If you pry further, you will presently lose yourself and be swallowed up in a maze and whirlpool of heresies and errors. This is what's happening in a charismatic phenomenon for the last 100 years. These deep things of God must be understood with sobriety according to the clear light which God has given you by His word. He fully carried out the wisdom he learned and experienced God's guidance and blessing. What did Joshua do? Well, he asked the Israelites to march around Jericho. Remember? 6 days, 1 day, one round. Very quiet when you go around. On the 7th day, you increase the number of rounds, and at the end of it, you simply shout, and the walls will come tumbling down. When we visited the Holy Land, we went to Jericho. We were shown the various layers of rocks. Evidence of what God had done. God's ways are not our ways. God's wisdom, not our wisdom. God's mind, not our mind. God's heart. Let God's mind, God's will, God's heart be your heart, your mind, your will, that thou mayest observe to do according to all
that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Next. So I've summarized for you by 7 T's to help us to strengthen, that our devotional life may be strengthened. Right? The first time, quiet time, you need that time, your devotional time. Will you take that time? Will you make time? Will you give priority to make sure that that time is set aside? And you have to really block off that time. Give yourself the time. Remember the 3 questions that we asked at the beginning? Later we will flash the 3 questions again. Remember the 3 questions that we have asked earlier? Can someone read it, shout it out? What are the 3 questions? How consistent is our quiet time? The second question, what are the common distractions to our quiet time? What are the common distractions to our quiet time? And thirdly, share a blessing that you receive in your quiet time. If that time is real and you're with God, surely you will benefit. There must be personal anecdotes. So we go back to our 7 T's. The first one, we said, time, to take time. And second, trust means to build faith, to build faith in God. Trust means to build faith in God. Joshua had to have faith in God. God said, march around. If you had not faith, you won't dare to march around. Right? The enemy would throw its arrows, and by the time the end of the first day, you know, they would be sitting ducks, dead men. So they were all very surprised. Why march around? They managed to survive 6 days. Have you ever thought about it? 6 days they march around, you know, to conquer a city. To conquer a city. You know that you the defender would make sure that you don't get near. You don't get a chance to march around. But how did they manage to march around for 6 days with no loss, no battle, no fight? Just march around. If you have not faith, you would not take hold of the principles that God would give you. The wisdom that God has for you says, do this. If you have not faith, you will not do so. Temperance. An attitude to acknowledge our need. The psalmist says in Psalm
86. O Lord, hear me. I'm poor and needy. Just bow down thy ear, O Lord. Hear me. I'm poor and needy. That temperance. That we don't veer off. We don't get distracted. We are able to sit still. It's a discipline. Temperance. Self-control. Truth, we said, the Word of God. Godly thoughts to fill the heart with God's truth, God's goodness. Henry Scudder said, God's goodness, heavenly wisdom. Thanksgiving, to praise God for His presence in our lives. When you're close to God, God's presence is with you. Although your circumstances may be very, very tough, there is a joy within you to know that God is with you. You won't falter inside. Outside, it may be a war zone. You may be in a war zone. But inside you, there is that restfulness. Trial and temptation. God gives you the strength to overcome. God gives you the strength to overcome. And you have that tenacity, the strength to persevere, the strength to carry on, the strength to not give up, the strength to trust the Lord. Time, trust, temperance, truth or thought. Let the truth be a part of your thought process. Let it fill you. Thanksgiving. Trials, temptations, tenacity. May the Lord help us. We said we are going to talk about our devotional life this morning. We have touched a little bit, somewhat, to give us something to think about. By no means exhaustive, but something that you can take hold of to begin. And we said that we have prepared this for you. 365 days. The book for all seasons. And I give to you just one part. The life-changing course, January 7th. January 7th. This verse is the motto of Proverbs. Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. And it says here, wisdom is too high for a fool. God doesn't want us, and there's a fool in each one of us, and deserves special treatment because it is also the theme of the whole Bible, to acknowledge the sovereignty of God in every area is the first step to acknowledge and to be successful living. The first step to knowledge and to successful living. So three things he said. The root, the shoot, the fruit. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The most intelligent thing that we can do is to fear God. That's what Proverbs is teaching us. The most intelligent thing that we can do is to fear God. And fear suggests something negative. But this fear is always positive. We all do things that displease God, and fear is a proper attitude there. Always seek to be on good terms with God. This turns fear into reverence, reverential, or not slavish dread, as in paganism and in much present day religionism. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his servants, for there is no want to them that fear him. It is the fear of man that brings a snare. But the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. The knowledge of God is the root of all knowledge. He quotes from many writers because he had done a very thorough research. The shoot, he says, the root, the shoot. This fear of the Lord springs from trust and love. The Old Testament reveals God as the Holy One, absolutely separate, which is largely ignored today. We insist on humanizing God. The New Testament reveals the Father giving His only begotten Son to be the Savior of all who believes on Him. Such love constrains us to a fear-filled reverence. It is the outgrowth of childlike trust. Oh, the wonder of it all, just to think that God loves me. We only truly fear God in proportion of how truly we love Him. So, the fear of God, the love of God, how we would draw nigh to Him because of who He is to us, and the fruit. This verse is an antithetic proverb. Nothing, notice the but here. It contrasts fear with despise and knowledge with fools. Consider the keywords, knowledge and wisdom. They are not quite the same. Knowledge is facts, basic information. Wisdom is application of knowledge. One takes this knowledge, acts upon it, and is saved. The other receives it in his head, but it never reaches his heart. He has knowledge without wisdom. To recognize this is the beginning, the necessary condition, the essential prerequisite of knowledge. There are many knowledgeable people, but all too few wise ones. Knowledge of God is better than all an unbelieving philosopher can ever attain. Thus, a Christian person is wiser than the wisest who know not God. Knowledge without God is merely a superstructure without foundation or with no foundation. I thought, Lord, deliver me from the fear of men that ensnares the soul. Very rich. And you know, every one of them, it would cover many, many different topics that you never think of. And you realize God's word is so rich. You would take time to study it, take time to meditate upon it, take time to summarize it, take time to appropriate it, take time to be blessed by it. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for Thy mercy in giving to us Thy word. And Lord, I pray that as we begin the new year, may Thou give to us that resolve as we consider to study the book of Proverbs. 365 days, may Thou be gracious to aid us along in this spiritual endeavor. May Thy mercy, Thy grace propel us. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.